Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of today's sermon? The Problem with Prayer. Based on two parables Jesus tells about prayer. Right now, from the parable we just read, Luke 18:1, Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. I invite you to turn on to your worship folder. On the back, you'll find an outline. You're encouraged to follow that outline as we consider our theme, the problem with prayer. Prayer. Yes, prayer. I'm sure you would agree there are so many things to pray about. The shape our world is in. Your personal and family needs. The future of our youth. The mission of this congregation. The list can go on and on. Yes, there are many things to pray about. But many people, and perhaps you, have some problems with prayer. Maybe you just don't get to prayer because of a too busy life, or maybe it's spiritual laziness that gets in the way of time with God in prayer. Maybe you have been, or maybe you're frustrated by what seems to be unanswered prayer. Maybe you wonder this morning if prayer really makes any difference. Our dear Lord Jesus answers our questions about prayer by means of two humorous parables in Luke chapters 11 and Luke chapters 18. Prayer number one can be entitled, The Friend at Midnight. And let me read to you again a portion of that parable. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you though, Jesus says, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he's his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Now, in order to fully appreciate this parable, one has to get a mental picture of the typical Palestinian home at the time of Christ. It was a one-room home, divided though into two parts, an upstairs loft in a downstairs area. The main level was used for the family's life during the day, but it was used as a stable for the animals at night. At one end of the house is an upstairs loft where the family eats and sleeps. And to get up to that loft, you have to climb a ladder. At night, the animals are brought into the main level and the door is bolted shut with a heavy crossbeam. Soon after this, picture it, the entire family is at sleep on the loft level. The sheep or cattle settle in down below. The door has been locked and bolted. Everything is dark and quiet, and I suggest probably a little smelly with the animals downstairs. Soon after this, the family is asleep on floor mats at the top. Then at midnight, the parable says, when everybody is sleeping quietly, a persistent beating on the outside door comes. Who could it be at this time of night? Don't they have any common sense? Now, gentlemen, you married gentlemen, imagine getting out of bed, stepping quietly over your wife and your sleeping children, tiptoeing around the newborn your wife has just spent 1.5 hours rocking to sleep. making your way down that ladder only as it starts to creak. Yeah, that same ladder your wife has asked you countless times to please fix, but you haven't got around to it yet. Then as you quietly try to make your way around the cattle, oh no, you stub your little toe on the cold, hard hoof of one of your cattle. And as you limp to the door, the pounding still continues. And you open the door and see a guy who says, "Hey, buddy, a pal of mine has just come in from out of town. I want to feed him some sandwiches. I'd like 3 loaves of bread and make that rye bread, wouldn't you?" You stand there in silence, but you're steaming mad. Then you say just 2 words, "Get lost." But then you turn around, determined to go back to sleep, and you're greeted with 3 wide awake children saying, "Daddy, who is that? What does he want? Is it morning? Can we get up? What's for breakfast?" And right behind the children stand your wife with now the crying baby in her arms. And she gives you that look. And you know what look I'm talking about. And now you know it's your turn to put the baby back to sleep. And the cattle are mooing loudly. The rooster is crowing. The whole household is disrupted. And meanwhile, the guy is still at the door begging for his bread. And there's no other choice than to open the door and give him the bread he asked for. We might laugh or smile. But then in the parable, Jesus asks us, "Well, you tell me, what would you have done?" Why, of course, we'd do the same thing. Give him the bread just to get rid of him. Then suddenly, Jesus has drawn us into a comparison we weren't expecting. He says, if a man would respond because of the persistence of his pesky neighbor, how much more would God, who cares about you and neither slumbers nor sleeps, answer your prayers? And we'll come back to that. But meanwhile, in today's gospel reading from Luke 18, Jesus has us laughing at another parable. Let me read some verses. Jesus told him a parable to the effect they ought always pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was also in that city a widow who kept coming to him saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." In this parable, we meet a dignified judge who's having a hard time holding on to his dignity. There's a certain widow in that town who's an absolute pest, and her persistent following of him everywhere. He can't get away from her. We imagine she's at his door every morning as he leaves for work. She confronts him at lunchtime in the marketplace. She disrupts his court. She interrupts his business meetings. She's at his doorstep every night when he comes home from work. And her appeal is always the same. Verse 3, "Give me justice against my adversary." We can imagine the judge's powerful friends begin to tease him about his inability to get rid of this pesky old widow. He has a reputation in town as a tough guy in his public boast, recorded in verse 4, where he says, "I neither fear God nor respect man." But this judge has met his match in this persistent widow. She's a tough lady, and she knows her rights, and she won't let up on the judge until he answers her plea. Listen to what the judge says about her in verse 5. "Because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming." Now, some claim "beat me down" means wear me out. But actually, the literal translation of that phrase means "lest she gives me a black eye." some lady, a persistent, strong-willed, determined lady that won't give up till the judge gives her what she needs. Now the widow got the judge to answer her plea. And Jesus' parable in Luke 18 ends with a comparison and a question much like the one in Luke 11. Listen to what he says. It's basically this. If this unrighteous judge answers the widow's plea, how much more will God, the righteous judge, answer the prayers of his people? In these two parables, our Lord Jesus answers some of our big questions about prayer, some problems we have about prayer. They're written on your sermon outline. Please take note of them there. First of all, we often find it hard to pray because we picture God as a reluctant neighbor or an unjust judge. We say, or maybe we feel things like this, God is just too busy for me. I'm not sure that God really cares about someone like me. Does God Almighty really want to be bothered with my daily needs? My friends, here's some good news for you. And these words of good news are not meant for you to apply to the neighbor sitting next to you or in front of you. This is the word of God's good news for you today, for you. Almighty God does care. And he reaches out to each one of us in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. Today, our Lord Jesus is here where he promised he would be. And he's speaking to your heart. His nail-pierced hands are rested on your shoulders. His loving eyes meet yours. And he says to you, my son, my daughter, I have died and risen for you. You are precious to me. My child, I am not a reluctant neighbor or an unjust judge. Come to me with your prayers and your needs. My arms, do you notice? My arms are wide open for you. Well, secondly, we mistakenly think that our prayers are not answered. We think like this, that our prayers are not answered when we don't get what we want or we don't get it when we want it. But a search of Holy Scripture on the topic of prayer clearly reveals this. The prayers of God's children are always answered. But the reality is, God can answer our prayers in one of three ways. God can say yes. God can say no. God can say not yet. Our problem is that when we get any answer but yes, we think God has not answered. Because he loves us. Because he knows what's best for us. Like a loving parent receiving a request from a young child. He can answer yes or no or not yet. Nobody less than the great apostle St. Paul learned this truth. When St. Paul was wrestling with the difficulty, Scripture calls in 2 Corinthians 12, a thorn in my flesh. Listen to Paul's words. There was given to me a thorn in my flesh. And three times I pleaded with the Lord, take it away from me. But he said to me, my child, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, therefore, I will boast the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. To make a long story short, God said no to Paul's prayer to take away this thorn, this problem. But God gave Paul something much greater. God gave Paul his grace and his strength. That is what Paul really needed to make him the mighty apostle of God that would change the face of all civilization. Paul's might came from depending on God's strength and on his grace, and not upon his own. The same is true for you and me today. When we are weak, trusting in God's grace and strength, then we are really strong. Now remember that God will answer your prayers. Yes. No, or not yet. And what might seem temporarily to be an unanswered prayer is God answering our prayer in a way much better than we could have ever imagined. In a way that will become clear to us in the future. Now, I cannot help here but be reminded of a country western song. Okay, some of you go ahead and groan. Country western music, I really enjoy it. I can't help but be reminded of a country western song sung by an artist named Garth Brooks. You should listen to this song and to the story behind the song. Its title is "Sometimes God's Greatest Gifts Are Unanswered Prayer." On your outline, thirdly, we're also mistaken about prayer if we reason that since God already knows what we need, there's no reason to pray. Why is that a mistake? Because God wants to give us something more than just an answer. He wants to do more than just answer our shopping lists of needs that we can check them off. He wants to give us the best gift of all, the gift of himself. In prayer, God draws us to himself. He gives himself to us. And there we know anew his strength and his promises. God delights in giving to us the gift of himself. It's the theme of the entire Bible. In Genesis 3, we were just talking about this in family confirmation yesterday morning. In Genesis 3, we find Adam and Eve hiding from God because of their guilt and shame. But God comes to them with a simple question. Where are you? He comes to them to give them what they really need, the gift of himself. In the Luke 15 parable, sometimes called the prodigal son. We talked about it this morning in Bible class. Well, the son was still afar off, the scripture says in Luke 15. The father saw him from a distance, ran to him, threw his arms around him, kissed him on the back of his neck, welcomed him home. What that boy needed more than anything else was the gift of his father and his love, and that's what the father gave him. Besides all of this, my friends, Holy Scripture tells us, and this is probably something some of you have never realized before because you haven't found this in your study of Scripture. Holy Scripture tells us that when we just don't know what to pray or how to pray, God the Holy Spirit and God the Son are praying for us. I didn't know what to pray with Evelyn Tweedy yesterday afternoon. What do I say? How do I pray? But God the Holy Spirit and God the Son who are praying for us would give us the words, would pray for us, would teach us to pray. Listen to what Scripture says in Romans 8:26. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groans and words that cannot be expressed. Romans 8:34, Christ Jesus, who was raised from death to life, He is at the right hand of God. And what is He doing? The Scripture says there, He is interceding, that is, praying for us. My friends, enough talk about prayer. Would you kindly bow your heads with me in prayer right now? Dear loving Heavenly Father, we come to You in the only way we can, in the name of Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Savior. We thank You that You do hear all our prayers and that You are not a reluctant neighbor nor an unjust judge who doesn't want to be bothered with us. We thank You that because of Jesus, we can come to Your open arms with all our needs as well as our thanks. Help us to receive, dear Lord, what You want to give us more than anything else, the gift of Yourself. Thank You that You delight in seeking us out, even when we run from You, like You did for Adam and Eve and for the prodigal son. We also thank You that when we just don't know how to pray or what to pray for, both God the Holy Spirit and God the Son are busy praying for us. Dear Lord, into Your hands we entrust every person here this morning and each person and family of Trinity Lutheran Church. They are so very dear to You. Love and encourage them with Your sure and strong presence. Assure them of Your forgiveness by the shed blood of Jesus. Meet their every need. And Lord, make each of us here this morning a man of prayer, a woman of prayer, a boy of prayer, a girl of prayer. Help us to make a regular appointment to meet with You in prayer. And through prayer, Lord, we call upon You to do things in our lives we never could have imagined. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.